This morning we come to the final installment of how we can become financially fit people. And so before we start to hear God's teaching on this, let's turn to Him in prayer. Our Lord and our God, this morning we ask that you open our hearts, that you change our wills, so that we're able to hear your word, we're able to apply it, so that we might receive your blessing. And we make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. In the seventh grade, when I was 30 years old, I discovered the game of basketball. And for the next 20-some years, I played basketball just about every spare second that I had. I just loved the game. And from time to time, when I played that game, I would get into what was called a zone. Now, you athletes know what I'm talking about. That zone is where, you know, on those particular days, everything you throw up goes in. It's just a wonderful place. You know, you just wish you could live there all of the time. The reality is, of course, is that you only visit there occasionally. But it's just a great place to be. There's just that sense that no matter what you did, it was going to go in. Well, the mystery of the zone, of course, is that it doesn't happen all the time. And it's not necessarily restricted even to basketball. You know, tennis players, golfers, baseball players, quarterbacks, just about any kind of sport has this thing they can call a zone. And a zone really just means it's a place where there is something that seems to be going on that's extraordinary on that particular day. Well, as I said, we're in the final stage here of helping us all become financially fit. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the losing the weight of debt. Last week, we talked about building the muscle of savings. And so today, I want us to talk about this zone, particularly as it relates to financial fitness. Now you think, well, that sounds a little bit bizarre. Well, it is. But in order for us to really get into this zone, in order for us to really become financially fit, what we need to have happen in our lives is we need for God to sort of become involved in our lives, to become supernaturally involved in our lives and in this area. Because it's only through God that we're going to be able to do extraordinary things financially. Well, let's begin by taking a look at some scriptures so we can get our bearings. The first scripture I want us to look at is Proverbs 10:22. It says this, "The Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth. All of our work adds nothing to it." I want you to think about that word blessing for a moment. I don't think we have any clue what we mean by the word blessing. I mean, when somebody sneezes, we say, "Bless you," or my daughter says, "Bless me." You know, if we're going to criticize somebody, or if we've already criticized somebody in the South, we say, "Oh, bless their heart. You know, he's dumb as a post. Oh, bless his heart." We have no idea what the Bible means by that term. But the Bible is crystal clear about what it means by that term. And what it means is this, that there is a supernatural thing going on. That God gives to you, gives to an individual's life, some kind of supernatural favor. Only God can give it. And He gives it to specific people for specific reasons. It is unique and it is special in that way. That is what a blessing it is. Alright? That's why the Bible says it is our greatest source of wealth, because it is God's favor on our life in some way, shape, or form. Now, I want you to hold that word and that definition of that word blessing in your mind as we look to the next text, which comes out of Malachi. Malachi 3:10 says this, "Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent the pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty." The last phrase, "not cast their fruit," sounds a little weird, doesn't it? What it means is, it's just an ancient way of saying that your vines, your grapes, won't shrivel up before they're ready to become ripe. But overall, that's sort of a strong language. The reference here to the floodgates of heaven is, it gives us an image of the blessing that God would give to us if we're willing to do what He asks in terms of our financial dealings. That reference of the floodgates of heaven, what God is saying is, look, if you're willing to do what I ask, that image comes right out of Genesis and the flood that covered the earth. In other words, God's saying, look, if you're willing to test me in this, if you're willing to do what I ask in this, the blessing that I will give to you will be so awesome, so powerful, so overwhelming. The only thing that I can compare it to is the flood in Genesis. It's an amazing thing. Let's look at what Jesus has to say. He said, "God will give to you. Indeed, you will receive a full measure, a generous helping, poured into your hands, all that you can hold." The image here, of course, is somebody says, here, you know when you say, give me some or give me some? Well, that's what you're doing. You're saying, here, God is going to fill up your hands to the point of overflowing. Now, those are the kind of verses that we like. We like to hear about the blessing of God. We like to hear the fact that He's going to bless our socks off. We like to hear about the fact that He's going to give us so much that we can't hold it in our hands. The context, of course, of what He's talking about in both of those is the issue of money. That if we're going to do this very specific thing that God asks us to do with our money, that He is willing to bless us. He's willing to put us into this zone so that we can experience the extraordinary nature and blessing of God. That's what these texts are talking about. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that kind of blessing from God? The kind of blessing from God that the only thing that He can equate it to is a flood. Well, unfortunately, the answer is a lot of us apparently don't want it, because statistics show that not many of us really tithe 10%. Now, I want to go back into these verses and look at them just for a second. That verse in Luke 6, Jesus actually says, if you're willing to give, that's the word that I didn't put in the first time, give, and God will give to you. God says, if you're willing to give to me, I'm willing to give to you. Not just a little bit, not just dollar for dollar, but I'm willing to give you abundantly, more than you can hold in your hand. And this is the text from Malachi 7 through 12. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, well, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out. And the rest of that we've already read, haven't we? I want to unpack this just a minute, just for a little bit. The first thing that we notice in this particular text in Malachi is that there's a financial problem with the people, and God wants to correct it. God says, we got a problem here. And the problem is that they were handling their money in a way that wasn't honoring to God. So God says, you know, I got to be very specific with you. The people are sort of clueless. They don't understand. You know, they ask. But you ask, how are we supposed to return to God? What are we doing wrong? And God says, here's what you're doing wrong. Here's the problem. And it's interesting that in this text, it's obvious that this is very important to God. He wants to make sure that the people get this right. And the problem was, is they were holding back some of their tithes and their offerings from God. Now, what's a tithe and an offering? A tithe means 10%. And what that means is you take all of your gross income, and 10% of that you give to God. That's what a tithe is. An offering is anything that you give above and beyond that tithe. Okay? Now the people, what's going on here is the people would come and they'd bring their tithes or their offerings. Now sometimes it was money, sometimes it was crops or food or whatever it might have been. And they're supposed to take it and put it in the storehouse. The storehouse was connected to the temple. And all of the tithes and offerings were put in that storehouse so then it could be used for ministry. In the New Testament, all the tithes and the offerings were just given directly to the church for ministry, just like it's done today. And the problem, God says, is that, you know what, you're not doing this. You're keeping a portion of those tithes and offerings for yourself, even though that I'm the one who's blessed you with them. And he says, and as a result of this, he says, I'm not going to bless you. Remember when I said what a blessing was? Remember we talked about what that blessing is? He says, I'm not going to bless you. Even worse, you have a curse on you. Now this is not some kind of Harry Potter spell, but to have a curse placed on you in a biblical sense means that you are now outside of God's provision, God's protection, God's help, God's care. It means that you're out there on an island. You're out there by yourself, doing it on your own. That's a scary place to be. So what do the people do? Well, they ask, well, what are we supposed to do? You know, we don't want to be under a curse from God, so what are we supposed to do? Well, God says very specifically, I want you to manage your money the way I told you to manage it. And if you're willing to do that, then I will bless you tremendously. I will bless you to the point of a flood. I will bless you to the point that you won't be able to hold all of it into your hand. The question, of course, is what does that mean to us? We read those passages of Scripture. We've heard, I'm sure, sermons on it before. What does that mean? Does that mean that all of a sudden we're going to start to get checks in the mail? Does that mean that we're going to get pay raises out of the blue? Does that mean that your stock is obviously, all of a sudden going to triple or quadruple? Does that mean that, maybe your Timex is going to turn into a Rolex? Your Buick will be turned into a Bentley overnight. Probably not. But there are two mistakes that people make when they read the Bible and deal with this issue of money. And that is, the first mistake is that they turn it into a health and wealth sort of name it and claim it kind of a theology, a way of thinking. This is the kind of theology that says, if you tithe, you too can drive a Lexus like I'm driving. Usually it's the pastor of the church saying that, unfortunately. But that's what it is. If you turn on the television from time to time, you will hear people say something like that. Something to the effect that God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be wealthy. And so if you tithe, if you give me, then God will bless you financially so that you can have a six-figure or a seven-figure income and a 10,000-square-foot house. That's a lie. The second mistake is just as bad, and that is that God has no dealings at all in the area of our financial stewardship. That God doesn't do anything with it, and that He doesn't care about it. That there is no relationship between what we do financially and what God does. Because the Bible teaches without qualification, and it's really crystal clear, that what we do with our, that there is a relationship between what we do with our money and what God does with us. I know that as Western American Christians, that goes against all of our sense of fairness. It goes against our sense of entitlement. But that's the truth. Those aren't my words, those are God's words. Now, what kind of blessing are we talking about? I never did really answer that question, did I? What kind of a blessing are we talking about? Well, quite honestly, it's whatever blessing God wants to give, because He custom designs whatever blessing He gives to us. It may be financial. There are times in which people have gone on record and they have given their tithe and God has blessed them financially. It may be that He blesses you in the sense of more joy in your life or more security in your life. Maybe it's more going to be a situation of He blesses the relationships in your life. He blesses your marriage or your business or your family. I don't know what it's going to be, but I do know this, that God promises that He will bless you if you're faithful in this. But whatever it's going to be custom designed for you and for your life. Remember what a blessing is. It's God's supernatural involvement in your life in a special, unique way. And that's what God promises. I will tell you one thing that we can say. It's sort of a blanket promise from God, and He says it right here in this text in Malachi. This is what He says. He says, "You can be assured that you will never go bankrupt by giving to Me. You will never go bankrupt if you give to Me." God promises that. In other words, if you give Me the 10% that I'm asking, I will make sure that the other 90% is enough to cover your needs. You can never, ever outgive God. That's the short version of what those two texts we've been dealing with mean. You can never outgive God. If you promise to give God the full 10%, He promises not to leave you in a ditch. That's really it. You will never be in a ditch by giving to God the full 10%. That's what He means when He says, "Trust Me in this." If you trust Me enough and you care about Me enough to do what I'm asking, then I will become supernaturally involved in your life in a unique way. And I will bring incredible levels of blessing in your life in the way that I choose. Now, what are some of our reactions to this? Well, the first reaction that we have is, why? Why 10%? Why tithe at all? And that's a fair question, and the answer is really simple. Because by giving, we exercise our faith and strengthen our trust in God. Faith is like a muscle, and it needs to be exercised in order to become stronger. And nothing is going to put our faith through a workout quite so much as giving. Money, for us, is the big gut check with God. I know you don't believe that, but it is. When you finally get to the point of giving a full tithe of 10%, I guarantee you that's a gut check for you. But that's also where you're really going to start to become real with God. That's because that's what God says. He says, you know, that's God's way of testing to see if we're really real with Him, is how we handle our finances. The second reason we give is because giving is the key to becoming a transformed person, a different person. Jesus said it so well. He said, you know, He said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And as I said last week, the reason why He said that is because when we give, we reflect the character of God. We don't reflect the character of God when we keep stuff for ourselves. We reflect the character of God when we give like He's given. That's the point at which we are transformed. People say, well, how can I increase my faith? How can I strengthen my faith as a Christian? Well, you know, the typical response is go to church, read the Bible, and pray. I would add another one, and that is give. Because giving transforms you. Jesus said that wherever your treasure is, your heart is going to be right next to it. So if we direct our monies toward God, it will also open up our heart to God. And that's why it's important. It transforms us. The second reaction we have is really simple, and it's the most common one. I don't want to. I don't believe it. I don't believe what you're saying, and I don't want to do this. It's my money, and you can talk about, you know, love and forgiveness and the Holy Spirit and prayer, and you can talk about whatever you want, but you can't mess with my money. It's mine. It sort of reminds me of when my boys were younger, I'd take them to McDonald's, and it didn't happen a lot, but every so often this would happen. I'd take them to McDonald's, and they'd buy a Happy Meal. And, of course, I'd buy something very nutritious like a Big Mac, but I wouldn't get the French fries. So we'd be sitting there eating. And I'd look over at their, I'd be done eating my Big Mac, and they'd be sort of munching away and, you know, messing with their food. And I'd reach over and I'd say, can I have a French fry? And out of their well-formed character, every so often they'd say no. And I'd say, well, okay. So then I'd wait and I'd ask maybe another time, and they'd say no. And at that point, you know, I had to sort of explain a few things to them. I'd say, you know, you realize that I'm the one who paid for those French fries. I bought those French fries. And you know what? I have the power to take away those French fries. And, you know, if you don't get it, you can't buy those French fries. I mean, if you want your own French fries, go ahead. Go on up to the counter and see if you can buy your own French fries. I don't think you can. And see, then I have to explain to them that not only did I buy them, not only do I have the power to take them away, but I also have the power to buy them as many as they possibly can eat. And one more thing, I can supersize them. You know, we've all got our little pile of French fries, don't we? All of us. And God is just asking for one or two fries. That's it. And when we say no to Him, He's got to wonder, do we not get it? Do we not understand this principle of blessing? But that's what the Bible teaches. Those aren't my words. Those are God's words. So how do you get started in this? Because sometimes this might be new teaching to some of you, and I'm sure some of you have already started trying to put away your latte money to reduce debt and also to build savings. So how do you get started? As you get started, I want to give you two simple things to remember. The first one is remember God's promise to us in Malachi and in Luke 6. You cannot ever outgive God. Remember to trust Him. That when it comes time in that month where you're trying to figure out whether or not you can really afford to pay the tithe or pay a bill, remember God's promise that He will never put you in a ditch if you're faithful to Him with how you handle your finances. He says, test me. It's the only place in the Bible where God says, test me. And then the second thing is when you start to give, it's okay to start gradually. Just like debt and just like savings, you can start gradually if it's an area of growth for you in your life. Most of us, if we're really honest, haven't been following God's plan, financial plan for our lives for quite a while now. So it's going to take a while to get to that point of 10% tithe. And so start and take a percentage of your income. Just at random. If it's 10%, start at 5. If 5 is way too much, start at 4. But at any point, set your goals so that over the next 2 or 3 years, you can slowly begin to increase that amount that you're tithing. Again, I want to encourage you to attend that Good Sense class. It's not a class about tithing. It's not. It's a class about managing your money, but it may help you manage your money and also help you in the area of tithing. But the point of this is that you need to get started. If this is a growth area in your life, then get started and start moving, because God wants you to order your life around His Word. He wants to become supernaturally involved in your life. He wants to bless you. But this is an area in which you have to get the ball rolling. It's an area that He's concerned about because He loves you and He wants you to become financially fit. May it be so for each of us. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, it's hard for us to hear this because we're so attached to our money. And so we ask that You help the Holy Spirit to percolate this information, Your Word to us. Give us the strength and the courage to be able to go beyond what we think we can do and trust You. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. I'm going to stand and sing hymn number 11. Come, Thou Font of Every Blessing.